you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This Ben Jarofsky Show, Benny J. Bonus Interview, is brought to you in part by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Local 126 and District 8, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 9, the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, and the Chicago Federation of Labor. Benny J., take it away.
It's bonus basketball time on the Ben Jarofsky Show. Yes, I want to indulge my passion for basketball, as we've been doing from time to time. In the last couple months, usually the doctor, young Dennis, pride and joy of Alton, tells no sports talk.
Not a doctor. This is a Benny J. B-ball bonus?
Yes, sir.
That's correct.
Thank you, Robert Mueller. As we do with all our bonuses, I ask my distinguished guest to introduce him or herself. So we'll start with this distinguished guest right here.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? I'm Miles Porter.
And this distinguished guest right there.
Hey, I'm Benji Hall.
And that distinguished guest, who is that?
I'm Dennis.
You're not the doctor?
Never have been in my life.
You're not White Lightning?
No, Dennis.
And Benji, of course, is otherwise known as Benji the Bookie. He's our betting expert. You didn't bring your computer this time.
I am the computer.
Oh, okay.
So he's got his phone.
And that is a computer. And Miles, of course, is our editor. And he's also a basketball junkie. Okay. Joe Colley will not be joining us today. Joe, hope you're feeling better. In the coming, you were supposed to be here today, couldn't make it. So hope you feel better, and we'll see you after the first of the year. We'll be more talk about basketball. Dennis lets us do this. All right, we're going to start with the state of my beloved Bulls. Generally, we spent the whole 15-20 minutes talking about the Bulls. I think we'll broaden it a little bit, but it's been kind of a disappointing start. Benji, start with you. State of the Bulls.
Well, you're right. It's been a little disappointing. I think their over-under win total projection at the beginning of the year was like around 33. They're definitely a little bit below that right now. They're probably on pace for like 30 with the recent little run. So not that far off, really, from what people nationally thought. I think locally everybody's a little more optimistic about what was going on there. But from my opinion, I think that I've seen some things lately that are a little more optimistic, the way that the team is. They're playing, I think they just had to figure out how they were going to play together. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still learning a new system or what, or just because they're young, but they've played a lot better lately. I still think they need to pass the ball more and play as a team more. Still a lot of hero ball out there. And the clear problem is end of game situations. They revert back into some bad habits where it's a lot of one-on-five basketball. So, overall, I think it's better. It's going to turn out a little better the rest of the year, especially when the rest of the bad teams in the East start to go into full tank mode. Mm.
Miles, your thoughts on the Bulls?
Well, I think one of the biggest things with the Bulls right now is that they are still learning how to be a cohesive unit. Really, I still have issues with Jim Boylan and certain decisions that he makes with certain players in the end of the game. We just talked about, you know, finishing games. Everything looks good for the first three quarters, and then all of a sudden, you know, certain changes happen or the players are shut down, and we just got to learn how to close out games against, you know, teams that we should beat, like beating the Golden State Warriors in 2019, 2020. That's a team that we have to beat. I really was very pleased with games like that we had with the last games, you know, Lauri Markkanen having a great game. Scoring 31 points and really just him coming out of his shell a little bit. That's the player that we know him to be. Clearly, they're still learning how to be more of a team still. Issues with Boylan and Levine happening throughout the past few weeks. Maybe they resolved that behind doors. you know, still growing. It's taking a little bit longer than most people want to, but I'm still very optimistic about this, this core group.
Young Dennis?
I think they're just where they, well, a lot of people thought they were. Kind of average, meh.
They are who
better than last year, a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of where I thought they'd be better than last year a little bit, right? The team's a little more developed.
They're a lot better than last year, actually.
Well, their record's better than right now as we speak. They are 11-19. I have to tell you this: I've been a Bulls fan since the franchise was created. I love my beloved Chicago Bulls. I would argue this is the most disappointing Bulls team I've ever seen. They're 11-19. Four of those losses. Now you listen to me, Chicago Bulls out there. I know you're big listeners. This podcast are unforgivable. They lost two games to Golden State. Golden State is 5-25, I want to say. So that means two of their five victories have been at the hands of the Bulls. Golden State would be undefeated champions if they played the Bulls every week. They lost to the New York Knicks, Benji. No, only once. They only lost to him once. And there was a Monday night at bowling.
Yes.
One of the worst games. I was screaming at the bowling. They blew a lead in that game. They let Bobby Portis pound his chest, just totally humiliate them. And then they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So those are the three worst teams in the NBA. If you just do the records.
Yeah.
And the Bulls have lost four times to them. They're 11-19. Those are wins they should have. They should at least, at the very least, be 15-15. If they were 15-15 right now, I'd be like, oh, my beloved Bulls, look at what they're doing. They're really coming true. I predicted this. As Benji knows, I predicted 45 wins for the Bulls this year. So inexplicable, Benji, that the Chicago Bulls would lose four games to the most miserable teams in the league, and that I find baffling. I do not know what is going on with the psychology of the Chicago Bulls. They play the Los Angeles Clippers hard and then lose to the New York Knicks.
Well, I got two questions for you regarding that. One, what makes you so excited about this team? What is so good about these players that makes you think that they should be so much better? Who on the roster like inspires this confidence?
All right.
And number two, are they just really soft? Because that's kind of what I think they might be.
That's what Joe Colley was theorizing time he was on the show.
Who stepped up to Bobby Portis?
That was exactly what Joe Colley said.
Of course, he's got a good right hook, but...
All right, yeah. The poor Mirotić is still not in the league. All right, look.
They knocked a guy out of the NBA completely.
I do not want... I said this last time when Joe Colley and I were having this conversation. I do not want to make the complete and total scapegoat of Lauri Markkanen, but...
Okay.
You asked me who in the Bulls is good and why I had confidence in them, other than the fact I'm a deluded Bulls fan. And I have to have some reason for hope in my life, Benji, or I'll just be utterly miserable all the time. Lauri Markkanen showed so much promise as a rookie and as a sophomore, particularly in that stretch run that he had in February of 10 games, where it was unlike any Bull since Jordan. I think that's what the statistics showed. As a statistical run, it was better than any Bull since Jordan. And I figured that this was his year. He would step up. He would be the leader. And Zach Attack Levine would play off of him more often. And you would have two 20-plus scorers on your team who were capable of scoring 30 or 40 on any given night. That should be good enough in the NBA to win 41 games. And I only predicted 45 wins. It was not like I was saying we were going to have a Grand Park parade, though I may have said that as well. So his... underplay this year to me is baffling. I don't know why the reason for it. I think it may be an injury. I hope that it is injury, because that means he'll play out of it once he's healthy. But his numbers have fallen instead of rising, and it's that's the difference, I think, between where the Bulls are and where I think they could be.
Can I throw out an interesting theory about Lowry?
Go.
Maybe as a good Finnish socialist, he's worried about Trump and climate change so much that it's affected his basketball.
Could be. Yeah, the political aspect of it.
I just wanted to wrap it up.
I'm looking online here. It says last year, Wednesday, December 19th, 2018, the Bulls record was 7-25.
Okay, 7-25. They're 11-19 now.
33% improvement.
There okay. Well, okay. There you go. See, that's
like,
not
like
bad.
I said, just a little better than last year.
So, Miles, what's your thoughts on Lauri Markkanen?
Man, I really like Lauri Markkanen. I feel like with I have an issue a bit with Jim Boylan. I feel like there's not a very good player coach relationship going on. Maybe Markkanen feels just fine around him, honestly, but I genuinely feel like Markkanen is not set up enough to grow off of the great years that he's had. Really sometimes struggling at the line, sometimes struggling with the open three, shooting off the dribble. I noticed that it's kind of just like a staggered shot. But we have nights like last night where it was kind of like Jim Boylan just let him do his thing. Obviously, he was the number one option on the court. Mm-hmm. And he's not always going to be the number one option on the court. But at the same time, I think it's good for Markkanen to know that he's that guy that the Bulls need still to, you know, win games. It has to be like him, LaVine, let Kobe White grow. I think that there's a bit of still like growth not happening with him right now. Not really on his part, but I do not think that Boylan cycles his players well from on the court to the bench.
Well, now, Benji, you've been critical at the bowling alley many times about Zach LaVine. In fact, a bowling alley night doesn't not go by where they come to me. Like, I run the Bulls. Yeah. And they go, here's the problem with the Bulls. Zach LaVine. And nobody says something about Lauri. Zach LaVine, he's taking too many shots. He doesn't pass the ball. Yeah. He's the leading scorer in a losing team. Every losing team has to have a leading scorer. That's all he is. He's never number one player. I hear this from pretty much every guy in the bowling. And young Benji, you're always coming at me with that as well. So what is your critique of Zach LaVine? Do you think he's a detriment to the Chicago Bulls?
First of all, I like that you call me young. That's so great.
I called like Pat Quinn young. He calls all the old people young, hey, too.
If I'm in Pat Quinn's territory, that's not too bad. I kind of go back to, I pick on him the most because he's got the ball the most. So, but it's a team-wide problem. Who on this team makes other players better, except maybe Wendell Carter Jr.?
Beast.
It's almost like I'm out for myself. That's kind of how I feel. And Zach LaVine gets some, you know, 4 or 5 assists a game, whatever. But to me, they're not set up in a team style of basketball where there's movement and he's finding guys at the right times. It's more like, I've run out of space and I'm hanging in midair and I have to get rid of the ball and accidentally somebody made a basket. There's my 5th assist. So that's kind of how I feel. I do see some rays of hope at the end of the game where he's usually at his absolute worst, where he just like, clear out everybody, watch me shoot this fadeaway 3 and blow the game. You know, at least he's driving to the bucket now. I like that. But yeah, I still... Where's the movement and the slicing and the cutting? And if you watch the really good teams in the NBA play, I mean, there's a flow going on, and I just don't see that.
I don't see it with the Bulls either. Dennis, have you turned on Zach LaVine?
Oh, I don't know. I've always been on the fence about Zach LaVine. He had that one game that was real cool against Charlotte, did real well. Then, I don't know, he kind of cancels out when he, like, has another opportunity to win the game, doesn't win it. I don't know. I'm hit or miss with Zach LaVine.
I was very excited with that Charlotte game. I don't think that was not a Monday night because you weren't around for that one. That was where he scored the 49 points. It was a Saturday game after a terrible Friday night game.
Well, that's where, you know, it's the most frustrating thing about him. He's so darn talented. You know, he can put up these incredible things. And then you, like, think, oh, he's turned the corner. And then he, like, reverts back to himself.
So do you see any hope for the Bulls? Go around the room, get your thought. Any hope, Benji, in the second? Well, we're not quite at the half point, but in the next month or so?
Well, you know, they could dismantle their entire management system and maybe...
Please.
You know, I think... I keep telling you that I think Daryl Morey's out there to be had, so...
Yeah, you have been pushing him.
You know, his owner is kind of insane. At Houston.
That's the Houston Rockets general manager, yeah.
Sorry, Houston fans, but then, you know, your owner's insane. And he's basically leveraged the entire future with that Westbrook trade and Harden and everything, and they don't win in the next couple of years. It's going to be a disaster there, and I think he knows it, and he's going to bail soon. So, you know, he's looking for a young core to, like, build around.
I cannot see the Bulls getting rid of John Paxson to get anybody else, actually. Any hope from you, Miles?
I would be pleasantly surprised if they make the 8 seed. I don't really have much hope for this year. I came into the year really optimistic. I'm optimistic for the years to come now. I think with everything going on with the management system, like was just said, Jim Boylan, I don't think it's working. It may work down the line, but in my opinion, I think it's gonna work a little bit like a little too little too late. You know how sometimes the Bulls do. Once March comes, they play the best basketball they've played all year. Then all of a sudden, it's game 82. See you next year. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't think this year. I'm optimistic though that they're still gonna learn more as a group. But closing out the year, I don't have much hope for that. But I will go out there every game.
I think it's a gradual incline. They're a little better than they were last year, which means they'll get right below the playoffs. They won't get in the playoffs. They'll be right there, so close.
Well, this is how bad. Well, the West is bad too now. In terms of the lower tier teams, there's four great teams or five great teams, and then there's the lower tier. The East. Every time the Bulls win, I take a look at the standings. Fellas, they're like three games out. They're right there, and Orlando's terrible. Yeah. That's the eighth seeded team. So I'm going to tell you guys right now. Now, Benji has been known to accuse me of being a homer, all right? Mm. Which is, I mean, I'm a fan. So, you know, that's kind of the same thing. I'm telling you, the key for the Bulls is Lauri Markkanen. If Lauri Markkanen finds that Lauri that existed in February, they will go on a run, and they will make the playoffs. And, Miles, you're absolutely correct. The Bulls have this weird phenomenon in their history, and this goes back to the 70s. I remember the 1977 Bulls. They were horrible, and all of a sudden, they put together a great run. They made the playoffs, and they were eliminated in the first round, but they were eliminated to the Portland Trailblazers, went on to win a championship. So it was no insult. You know,
it's reasonable.
It was a reasonable thing. It was a great year. I still remember. Here it is 50 years later. I still remember. So I say if Lauri Markkanen can find the old Lauri, they're going to make the playoffs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think they're going to make the playoffs. All right.
And if they don't?
They don't make the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah. You absolutely need
Lauri. Get you on the record.
Absolutely need Lauri Markkanen. He has to do what he did last night. Last night against Washington, he had 31 points. And 9 rebounds, shot 12 out of 19. That's the Lauri Markkanen.
Will you be on the trade Lauri Markkanen bandwagon if that happens?
I don't think there won't be any value for Lauri Markkanen.
Is there value on any Bulls player for trades?
Yes, Zach LaVine has value. I would argue that Zach LaVine on the Denver Nuggets would make them a contender for the finals. Zach Attack, oh my God, Milwaukee would love Zach LaVine. Zach
really?
LaVine with yeah.
Oh my!
Ooh. I don't know.
That'd be
he doesn't fit into that system. See, this is the whole thing.
They'll make him fit into that. So you got Giannis.
The Bucks don't. They don't have a number two, in my opinion. They don't have a number two scoring option.
I'd take Middleton over Zach LaVine all day long.
Yeah. No way.
Mm. Oh yeah.
You take Middleton over Zach Attack?
Yes.
I don't know what to say to that.
Well, it's stats versus winning.
Yeah, but
that's
I feel
the difference.
I feel that's a winning atmosphere, and I also feel that.
I mean, you're a Dennis Rodman supporter.
Love Dennis Rodman.
He didn't have the best stats, but he was a winner.
Yeah,
right. This is kind of the same thing. But Zach's the opposite.
But Dennis Rodman was a quote unquote winner when he played in a winning system. When he was with the San Antonio Spurs, they were not winners. And at the end of his career,
they had a great record that year. He just was kicked off the team for many, many extracurricular activities.
Yeah, they didn't have a playoff run. You're talking about 1995.
Yeah, but the year before he came to the Bulls, they were really good.
Were they?
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and look at that. But I think that if you put Zach LaVine on the same team as Giannis, and Giannis is in charge, and Zach LaVine realizes he's the number two guy at best. I think
he played with a guy named Carl Anthony Towns and didn't realize that he wasn't the second best player.
Yeah, but that was the young Carl Anthony Towns. That was the baby Carl.
Still, he was way better than Zach LaVine.
And then Zach LaVine got hurt right about the time that Carl Anthony Towns.
Well, agree to disagree.
Yes, we'll agree to move on to, let's see, biggest surprises and disappointments in the season so far. We'll start with you, Miles.
I am genuinely surprised by the Raptors. I wasn't sitting here saying that they were just going to be bad when Kawhi left. That wasn't me. But I was not expecting them to hang in there that the way they have. I mean, just like, I know there was so much negativity around Kawhi leaving and everything and how it pursued and how they wanted him to come back and Drake and, you know, everything involving that. I'm genuinely surprised that the Raptors have hung in the way they have. I'm very happy for that entire organization. That's really how I feel right now.
And your biggest disappointment, what do you think is the biggest disappointment in the league right now?
I know this is a bad answer. I don't really have too many disappointments. There's certain things happening right now that I'm pretty, you know, I kind of saw coming. I didn't expect the Warriors to be all that great this year. I'm not surprised that they're this bad. You have your big three going down. You have Draymond Green coming in and out. Really, there's a lot of things happening that I kind of expected for the most part. So not too many big disappointments. Mm-hmm. That answer is probably going to change come January.
Benji?
My biggest, surprise / same and disappointment at the same time is Utah and particularly Mike Conley not being good this year. He's been actually brutal, and I did not see that coming at all. I thought finally getting out of Memphis and having a bunch of good players to play around him, he would shine, mm-hmm. but he's really struggled. For a pleasant surprise, I would have to say the Charlotte Hornets. I have no idea how they win games. I thought they would be the top, one of the bottom three teams, and there's a lot of bad teams. And you know, like this Graham kid is playing out of his mind. Yeah. There's a lot of really surprising players that are having great years. And that's kind of fun to see, like some of the Miami guys and, you know, these Charlotte guys and, you know, that, so that it's nice to see instead of just like high draft picks, like some guys that aren't even drafted are doing great.
Yeah. There's the Graham from Charlotte stunning me. He was a 4-year senior, I think, at Kansas, right. I want to say. Yeah. And,
nobody wanted him.
Nobody wanted him.
Crazy.
Dennis?
I go biggest surprise, Miami Heat. They're doing really well. What, they're like in third place in the East last time I checked?
20 wins already.
No one saw that one coming. That Kendrick Nunn fella doing really well, undrafted. Even that rookie Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler, man. He's kind of proven that, I don't know, he may have been the nucleus there for Philadelphia last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He helped.
So biggest surprise for sure is the Miami Heat. Biggest disappointment, my MVP poll, two of them, I guess. My MVP pick, the Joker. Getting that nickname for the wrong reasons now. Looking like a joke.
Yeah.
And Kyrie Irving really hasn't, I don't know, something about just very disappointing this year. I do not like Kyrie Irving, by the way, but very dramatic player, and I don't know.
What's your problem with Kyrie Irving?
Flat Earth.
What's that?
Flatter. He's
flatter. Yeah, flatter.
No, everybody can think what they want. That's fine. That's
totally
a fun
wrong.
Conspiracy theory. That's a fun theory, though, you know? It's not hurting anybody. But, my problem with Kyrie Irving, I don't know, baby, maybe? Yeah. I don't know. Like, dude, you thought you wanted to be on, you didn't want to be on Cleveland, then you go to Boston, don't want to be on Boston, go to New York. And,
he's hurt right now.
And that Spencer Didwin, he's doing really well, too. So, I mean, I don't know. Step it up, Kyrie.
Kyrie writes some really great long tweets, though, when he's, like, hurt.
Yeah. He's got a lot of time. I got to agree with you, the Joker.
Man.
I thought he was so good last year in the playoffs and in the regular season as well. And this year, he just – I remember the one Monday night at the bowling alley, I was standing with Benji.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that Joker? The guy looked like he put on 50 pounds. He had a good summer. The biggest surprise, and I got to tell you, I did not see this coming, and so I confess this right now. Luka Doncic from Dallas.
Oh my goodness.
That guy is phenomenal. He's almost averaging a triple double, at averaging 30 points a game.
He's 20.
He's 20 years old, and I didn't see it coming.
Remember 20, Ben?
No. I've been around 20. What's the joke? I'm around 20. I've been around it three times. Hello. I'll be Zanies this weekend.
He remembers 1920. He's very old.
1920.
It was roaring.
1920 was a good year. Yeah. All right. So I didn't see that coming at all, Benji. And this gets into one of my pet peeves, which I will raise with you. The gentleman, Benji, you two, we've had this argument discussion for many years. I do not believe tanking is the way to go for a team that is trying to get from being either mediocre. Usually it's a mediocre team trying to become a champion. And the conventional wisdom for the last, I don't know, 10 years or so is the way to do that is to trade away. This is like the 2012 Philadelphia 76ers. Who made it to the second round of the playoffs. They defeated the Bulls in the first round, then they made it to the second round and lost. And they immediately dismantled it, traded all their good players, got rid of them with the idea that they were going to collect a stellar core of stars through the draft. And I've been watching drafts for years. And my theory, I was thinking about this, I was walking here today, Benji, Miles, and Dennis, that maybe every decade there's one or two at tops players who immediately turn a team around. In the 80s, there were two. Magic Johnson, Larry Joe Bird. Mm. In the 90s, there was, what's that? Michael Jeffrey Jordan didn't immediately turn the Bulls around. I know this as a beloved Bulls fan. They struggled. Now, he was hurt his second year, but they did make the playoffs every year, but they were pretty wretched. It wasn't until they drafted Scottie Pippen. Tim Duncan in the 90s.
So you're giving Krause all the credit.
Jerry Krause deserves a hell of a lot more credit than he gets in this town. In the 90s, it was Tim Duncan. In the 00s, there was LeBron James. Yep. And in the teens, it's Doncic. That's it. That's the only players, as great as they are, Anthony Davis didn't turn his team around immediately when he came to him. D-Wade didn't turn his team around. I'm just thinking Paul Pierce didn't turn.
D-Wade did win a championship right away.
With Shaquille O'Neal when they traded
with Alonzo Mourning.
And was Alonzo Mourning on that team?
Yeah, he was the back here. He was more crucial at the end than Shaquille, if you go back and watch it.
Fair enough. And he had Dennis's favorite player as point guard, Jason Williams.
Yeah.
So I don't think that tanking works. And so when I think of Jimmy Butler, I think that's proof. I think that when the Bulls traded Jimmy Butler to tank and then bring in young, inexperienced draftees, I feel like they set themselves back. I think it would have been easier to build around Jimmy Butler. Your thoughts will start with you, Benji.
Okay. I think a lot of it goes into, as a team, what are your goals? If your goal is to just be good, then I agree with you. If your goal is to win a championship, then I think tanking has merits. And the reason I say that is, basically, if your turnaround story, there is a lot more guys, actually, than that. I mean, look at Embiid. Like, there's a guy. Has he won a championship, though? Not yet. But
how many years before he turned the
like three?
Yeah, because he was injured. So, yeah.
I mean, it instantly. Yeah. No, there's not many, but that's.
Well, there's one a decade.
But really, it's if it gets you to a championship level, I think is and gives you a chance is what you're looking for. And so, you need to have one of the top 10 players, or probably two of the top 20 players. And typically one of the top five players to get to that stratosphere. And you're not ever going to get those guys unless you're the Lakers via trade. And it's almost impossible to get them out of free agency if you're bad or even if you're mediocre, because it's hard. You know, the Knicks, how many times have the Knicks tried to get guys? So the theory is, especially when you're a small market team, or you just haven't had a good history of getting guys, the only way you can get them is in the draft. And the odds of getting them are more and more draft picks. So you may have to be bad for 3 or 4 years instead of being stuck in the middle, which I think is where the Bulls are headed.
If they're lucky.
Well, if they're lucky, right?
If they're lucky.
Like, what is the future of this young core? There's no game changers in my mind that are going to get you to an elite level. So unless you get one of those elite players, your best case scenario is being stuck in the middle, which is like the worst place to be.
Actually, I disagree. I'd rather be stuck in the middle than where the Bulls were last year. Miles, your thoughts?
I'm not the biggest fan of tanking. You know, obviously, we've talked about certain teams. They really cannot sign big guys if they're a small market team. I mean, with tanking, I feel like it's such a letdown to the organization itself, really just kind of like throwing it away. And at the same time, it's a bit of a gamble because you can tank and then your team will not develop after that, even if you do have a young core group of guys. Like, I hate using the Knicks as an example, but I feel like the Knicks are like such a product of like tanking not working. I know not every team can sign a big time player. I know some teams don't have the room for it. Some teams just straight up can't afford it. With tanking, I think it is so detrimental to really just not go that route. Maybe try to build around the young core you have. Sign a couple of medium value players here and there, but really let these young players know that you already have, that you're not giving up on. Let them know like, hey, you know, we believe in you. You're the guy that we want on this team. We can build around you. I don't think tanking is the way to go.
Dennis?
I think the NBA is the best at like kind of preventing tanking. Like, you look at the team that got the first pick last year, it was the Pelicans. They weren't necessarily trying to be bad, right? Anthony Davis just, you know, kind of
forced their hand.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't that bad, you know. So, and they got the first pick. The Knicks, they tried being bad on purpose. They got the third pick.
Yeah.
The Bulls, they weren't that great. They were had moments of tanking. They didn't really get on the list. So I think the NBA does a great job of preventing tanking. You know.
And they're actually changing the rules every year to make it.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I think that's awesome.
I absolutely agree. I just did a list right here. See if you guys agree with me. I'm thinking of the best players currently in the NBA.
Sure.
Okay. And one of them is injured, but I still put Steph Curry on that list. So
okay.
I have,
yes.
And this is in no particular order. I'm just
Durant is injured as well.
Okay. You know what? I did not have Durant on the list. I'll put him on there too. So this is in no particular order. I'm just listing. This is as they popped in my mind. Giannis. Can't even read my writing. Kawhi. That's my writing. LeBron. Anthony Davis. Luka Doncic, James Harden, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. Have I missed anybody that should be on this list? Have I put somebody in this list that doesn't belong there?
No.
Okay.
No.
On this list, the only person that you could argue was worth tanking for was LeBron James. I would say Giannis.
Are you kidding?
Giannis.
What do you mean?
In retrospect, we now know that Giannis.
I would tank for all those guys. I would have 2 years of misery to get any one of those players.
Let me rephrase it. There's aside from LeBron James, there's nobody that the entire NBA, everybody in this room would agree was worth tanking when you were tanking. So right. In other words, nobody knew that Doncic would be Doncic.
Oh, I disagree with that.
He was the fifth. There were four people taken ahead of him.
Well, I'll say that about Curry.
Three.
Curry was the eighth. Curry. Was
yeah. People did not expect Curry to come out of Davidson and be the Curry that we know that he is now.
Was he eighth or ninth picked?
Something like that.
I thought he was eighth. I thought he was eighth.
Kevin but Durant.
Just
was
remember,
the
Minnesota
second.
Picked two point guards right ahead of him.
Well, okay. I'm just.
No, that one, at the time, I see what you're saying, but...
Giannis was the 15th pick?
But Doncic, anyone with a half a brain to watch basketball or heard anything about him, he should have been the number one pick. There's just a bunch of dumb NBA teams out there, so...
There are four NBA teams that passed on Doncic.
No, he was third.
He was fifth. They traded up.
Oh, that's right.
You're right. He was fifth. And so this is my point. There was no. I'm at the bowling alley. Bulls are losing. Everybody's screaming tanking. We want Zion. The only person that anybody said we want Zion. Doncic came out. Who's the number one pick the year Doncic came out?
Ayton. And then it was
nobody was saying we want
Doncic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, the bowling alley
well,
are going.
The Mavericks what? Fans.
And it's Doncic.
Oh, Donk. I'm
saying Doncic.
No, I think the N is silent, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Doncic.
Are you sure the N is not silent? Okay.
Make it sound like Jokic.
Sorry.
It's better than Lowry Lightfoot. I was doing that last
So do you,
Lowry Markkanen and Lowry Lightfoot. Lowry,
so do you think there's, in retrospect, you look at James Harden, was he the third round pick, wasn't he?
He was, I mean, third or fourth.
Are there any other players on this list that I've left off that that belong here?
AD's on there, right?
Yeah. AD's on there.
No, I mean, you could maybe say Embiid, but he hasn't proved it yet.
How about Jimmy Butler?
No, not at that level.
No.
Although his team has done very well this year.
Yeah, the Heat are.
They're a team. Like, Bam is awesome. Yeah. And they just play really good. They play good without him.
Anyway, this is one of my pet peeves. Benji and I were having this argument debate for. We're in the old age home at age 100, but if we live that long.
Well, what it comes down to, I think, is, you know, more importantly than the tank or not tank strategy is to have. Obviously, good management and good scouting and have good player development to make smart decisions on every trade or signing or everything you do to create value. That's why Daryl Morey was so smart. When there's no way he should have got James Harden, but he put together enough assets to be able to spin it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, that's how Kevin Durant and Kyrie ended up on Brooklyn. I mean, we don't know what the end result of that is, but the fact that they landed those two guys, you know, 2 years ago they were, or 3 years ago, they were just nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they put together a series of smart moves to get to a point where they can actually do something interesting.
And they also picked up some players that nobody anticipated would be good, like Dinwiddie and...
Development.
They're outstanding. The Bulls had him, by the way.
Yeah.
That really hurts.
Painful to look back on.
It is a very painful... All right, and so what are your big predictions for the coming year? We'll start with you, Dennis. Big predictions for 2020 in the NBA.
Big predictions next year. That's tough. I don't know. Can you skip me and come back so I can think of something?
All right, we'll make Benji go first.
I'm posting today's show.
Oh, okay. My prediction is
you can download today's Ben Jarofsky show, by the way.
That's good. Start not now. Oh, wait. Nobody's hearing this now anyway. Benji, your big prediction for 2020.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a huge prediction, but San Antonio will not make the playoffs.
I was going to go the opposite way, but
That's fine. And I think when Zion comes back healthy, they're going to baby him a lot at first. And then I think he's just going to tear the league apart.
Like the last month or so?
The last, 2 months. I think 2 months.
I hope
we'll get out of him. Hopefully, yeah.
I really feel bad for that guy. I have such high expectations.
There's been so many injuries again this year. It's almost frightening, and I hope the rest of the year is injury-free, but I feel like there's going to be more big names coming, which makes me sad.
Yeah, it is. It's I don't know why it is. It seems like there's more.
Well, PEDs, maybe. It's never talked about. But they're pushing their bodies more and more.
Bodies break down.
If you watch a game, if you watch a game from like the 80s or the 90s on like NBA Classic, and then you watch today, you're just like, wait, those guys aren't even moving. Like they barely run. They like stand around. Like,
you're talking about the 80s team.
Yeah, the half court. It's just like, it's plotting. And so people have to just ask so much more of their bodies now. But I think, I wonder if the supplements that they're taking are affecting the injuries.
Miles, your big, bold predictions for 2020.
So this is going to sound crazy. I'm going to say it, though.
Uh-oh.
I don't think the Lakers are going to win the finals.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lakers are going to win the finals.
I agree with you, by the way.
I don't think so.
Who do you think will win? And why don't? Well, let's start with why don't you think the Lakers will do?
I feel like the Lakers... I think that there's still a complacency within that organization. I think they lean on LeBron and AD a lot, and they know they're going to win games like that. Totally fine. But I feel like that complacency is going to hurt them in the long run. I feel like the Milwaukee Bucks have so much more to play for. I feel like there's such much more of an emotional like game that they have right now, knowing that they're still a little bit of the underdog when it comes to the Lakers. I do not think the Lakers are going to win the finals. I'm going with the Milwaukee Bucks.
But you think the Lakers will get in the finals?
I do. I do believe.
All right.
I do believe they'll get to the finals.
I say no.
My preseason prediction was that they would lose the finals, the Western Division championship to the hometown rivals,
the Clippers. Oh, that was my prediction. I got to stick with that.
I'm leaning towards that now, too.
Yeah. I look at it now. It's going to be L.A. I think the Lakers will be first. The Clippers will be second in the seeding. But it doesn't matter because they all play at the same
The Lakers
facility.
Have floor home games.
Yeah.
Seven.
They have floor home games. So I've just always felt that Kawhi Leonard is perhaps the best player in the NBA. But because, what do they call it, load management, he just doesn't display it as much as LeBron James does and Giannis.
It's always something.
He's always something. I'm never quite sure if it's real, you know?
I don't like to critique like Kawhi too much, but I feel like it's kind of always something with him. It's something that it kind of holds back for me personally. I feel like it takes away a little bit from his legacy, but him winning with the Raptors last year, it, you know, that helps a ton. But if you kind of like look at Kawhi's career, there's kind of always been a little bit of a something going on affecting his playing, whether it's an issue with Pop and the Spurs or, you know, load management, which I get at being an athlete myself. Like I understand it, but it's kind of like always like a little rift going on with him. So.
So you wouldn't care if your coach sat you for because said you're tired?
I would be pissed. Okay. Put me in the game.
All right, so much for understanding load management.
Well, wait a minute, though. Tired is different than having something that is a nagging injury or a potential serious injury happening because you're pushing yourself.
Right.
Tired is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a valid point.
I hate load management. I've decided. I was on the fence about it, but I don't like it.
Well, if you don't look at it as load management, you look at like what Benji. Look, for instance, since we're talking about great athletes, I'll bring myself into the picture. last Monday, I had some back pain. I could have gone bowling, but I told the captain of my team, "Cap, I'm not bowling tonight because my."
They did so much better.
I kept score, we won two games, Benji, but we did not take the total series. So, so I see your point. In other words, let's say I could have bowled, but I really might have screwed up my back.
Does your team need you for one night, or do they need you for 3 months? Come on.
It could be argued.
I think in the case of bowling, it might be a wash.
But I'm basically, I know. But the thing I was surprised about, the number of guys, like guys are coming up to the bowling alley, why aren't you bowling? And I'm, my back hurts. I couldn't believe how many other guys had the similar complaints. Like, I've had this.
I'm playing through it. I was getting shot up before that.
I'm definitely that athlete where it's like, I have a little elbow pain before a game. And it's like, Miles, how are you doing? Like, I'm doing great. My teammate comes up to me like, dude, my arm. I was like, dude, I need ice right now.
Yeah.
I hear you. By the way, your father, Miles, was the one who gave me the best advice. He told me to get a heating pad and it feels a lot better. So I'll be back out there on Monday. So Dennis, do you have any,
predictions?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say the Mavericks are going to like do really well in the playoffs. All right. They're going to go further than a lot of people think. And I think trade deadline, they're going to get somebody. And I'm going to tell you who I think they're going to get.
Go.
It's going to be a surprise. It's a bold prediction.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond. I think Andre Drummond's going to get traded and he's going to go to the Mavericks.
That would be amazing.
Oh,
watch out.
Dirty.
Man. Wow. What do you think? Who do you think's going to, the Bucks are going to get, Benji? Like, Dennis is absolutely, we talk about this on the train going home all the time.
Kevin Love goes to the Rockets. Well, Andre Drummond goes to the Mavericks, and that's all I got after that.
I think that there will be hardly any trades this year, and it's due to there'll be like minor people moving around, but no big game changers is my prediction. I hope I'm wrong, but I think it's really hard with salaries and just all the good teams don't really have a lot of flexibility. They've kind of put themselves into a little bit of inflexible corner.
The other big prediction Dennis made in this round is that the Toronto Raptors would trade. Who'd you say they were going to trade?
Lowry.
He said they're Lowry, which I didn't buy. I thought the Raptors.
I said they were looking at trading Lowry. He's one of the people that they're talking about.
Well, let's see the tape. I had a tape of it. Hi, I'm Dennis. The Raptors are going to trade.
God, I sound nothing like that.
It's like two Dennises in there.
Hey.
Oh my God, my dentist imitation is so good. Miles, you predict any? Am I going to make any predictions for trades?
I don't think anything big is going to happen during the trade deadline. Like we said, it's team state. Yeah, I think everything's pretty established at this point. I mean, maybe the Bucks could use another number two. I genuinely do believe that. Although Chris Middleton is great, like I think he's great. Maybe they could use someone else to, you know, pad that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything crazy is happening at the trade deadline.
Well, if Benji's correct and San Antonio's not going to make it, they got some assets there that they might want to trade.
Hey, DeMar DeRozan can do
DeRozan.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they got a lot of salary weight, though. It's hard to make those deals happen. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah, that is the problem. Anyway, that is it. We're out of time here. Benji Hall, Miles, Dennis, I want to thank you gentlemen for coming in. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year, Happy Bulls season, and we'll convene in January, and Joe Colley will be with us. Get well, Joe, and take care, everybody.